Welcome to New Life Assembly of God Media Ministry. We are glad that you are here. We believe the Word of God is relevant and life-changing, and we hope you can be blessed by this message.
But today we're wrapping up the series, Winning the Battle in Your Mind, and today's message is titled, Peace of Mind. We all need peace of mind. Amen? Praise the Lord. I was reading an article about the top trending Google searches, and in the top five were search terms related to inner peace, such as how to calm down, meditation, how to relax, how to find freedom from stress and anxiety. These are the top Google searches with hundreds of thousands of searches that are being conducted on a daily and weekly basis for these topics. Why so much interest in how to relax, how to meditate, how to calm down, how to relieve stress, how to find inner peace? It's because people are battling with a troubled mind. People are stressed out, they're anxious, they're filled with worry, they are on edge. That's why the slightest thing, you know, people just go off over the edge with road rage and all kinds of things. A recent study on stress in America reported that in 2021, 84% of adults reported feeling at least one emotion associated with prolonged stress in the prior 2 weeks. The most common were feelings of anxiety, sadness, and anger. And in an article by Psychology Today, the author described anxiety as a modern-day plague, a modern-day plague. I read the story of two businessmen who met for lunch. And Gene asked, "Hey, how's your health going, Ed?" And Ed said, "Well, I feel great. My ulcers are gone, and I don't have a care in the world." Gene was shocked, and he said, "Wow, how did that happen?" Ed said, "Well, you know, my doctor told me that my ulcers were caused from worrying. So I hired myself a professional worrier. Whenever something worrisome comes up, I just turn it over to him, and he does all the worrying for me." Gene said, "Wow, I'd like to hire someone like that. How much does it cost?" Ed says, $100,000. Gene said, "How in the world are you going to come up with $100,000? Ed said, "I don't know, but I'm letting him worry about that." Everyone struggles with worry and anxiety. And it would be wonderful, wouldn't it, if we could all have someone that could worry for us, that could take all of our worries, all of our anxieties, all of our stresses. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Well, the good news is, we do. We have someone that we can turn all of our worries over to, and it doesn't cost $100,000. Amen. It's absolutely free because we all have access. Amen. Hallelujah. And that's what Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 4. Read with me, if you will, verses 4 through 9. Philippians chapter 4, we're going to read verses 4 through 9. The scripture says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and I'll say it again." Because sometimes when we don't get something, the scripture has to repeat it for us. So he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and I'll say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all, the Lord is near. Don't worry about anything, instead pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all that he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus." And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice. See, that's the key. We have to practice it. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. Hallelujah. What a wonderful promise from God's word. Amen. Did you know that according to the National Institute of Health, stress or anxiety is the common risk factor in 75 to 90% of diseases, including the diseases which top the list for morbidity and mortality? Stress is killing people. It's the top killer of people. And the reason is because God never designed us to live stressed out. He designed us to live in peace of mind. Our body is designed to function in health in an environment of peace, inner peace. I like something Joyce Meyer says. She said, worry is the opposite of faith, and it steals our peace, physically wears us out, and can even make us sick. When we worry, she said, we torment ourselves. We are doing the devil's job for him. Did you hear that? When we worry, we're doing the devil's job for him. One writer referred to worry as one of Satan's deadliest weapons. The Bible makes it clear that we are engaged in a spiritual battle in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and it tells us that the primary arena of that spiritual battle is fought in our mind, and that we need, by the supernatural weapons that God has given us, such as prayer, the power of His Word, the power of the Holy Spirit, praise, gratitude, the supernatural weapons that God has given us, we need to bring every thought under the control of Christ or in subjection to Christ. And this is an area in regard to stress, worry, and anxiety, that we need to learn to bring our thoughts under Christ's control. Now, the focus in the series has been about winning the battle in our mind. And if you've missed any of the messages, I encourage you to go back and listen to them. Last week's message was on overcoming negative thinking. I think it's very powerful for every person to hear that message. I believe it will be a blessing to you. So go back and listen to it either on our Facebook page or on our YouTube channel. But today, we're going to be looking at winning the battle against anxiety so that we can all have peace of mind. And we're going to unpack a couple of principles that we kind of touched on last week regarding the weapon of prayer and thanksgiving, but we're going to elaborate on them this morning. And the first principle I want us to see, don't worry about anything, pray about everything. And that's coming straight from Scripture, right? He said, don't worry about anything, pray about everything. Don't let worry rob you of joy and peace. Worry is the greatest thief of our joy and peace, not to mention our physical health. And Paul opens this passage in Philippians about overcoming worry in verse 4 with the words, rejoice in the Lord always, and I'll say it again, rejoice. The Christian life is supposed to be a life full of joy. But the devil comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He wants to steal your joy. He wants to steal your peace. And then life becomes a drudgery and a burden. In teaching us about abiding in Him and allowing His words to abide in us, Jesus said in John 15, 11, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. It's His joy, and as we allow Him to live in us and have control in us, His joy fills us. It's a joy that the world cannot give, and it's a joy that the world cannot take away. Amen? And He wants us to walk in that fullness of joy. A life lived in vital connection of relationship with Jesus is supposed to be a life full of joy. As daily we rejoice in His love, we rejoice in His faithfulness, we rejoice in His presence, we rejoice in His goodness, hallelujah, and we rejoice in the good things that we believe that He has in store for us in the future, because He said, I know the plans I have for you, they are plans that not to harm you, but to do good to you, plans to give you a hope and a future. So we don't look at the future with dread and worry and anxiety, we look with anticipation and expectation. As by faith, we believe the word of God that He has a good plan for us. Amen. But as the famed preacher Charles Spurgeon said, there is no doubt that Satan's object is to cause us to worry because he does not like to see God's people happy. Satan wants to consume our mind with ungrounded fears of negative happenings and outcomes so that our mind will be troubled, so that our mind will doubt the love and the goodness of God in our lives in the present and also in the future. And when you're consumed with worry, you cannot enjoy life and you're never at peace because your mind is always troubled, running constantly, thinking about all those fearful, worst-case scenarios. So if this is the way that we have this natural tendency towards, what are we supposed to do? George Mueller, who was widely considered one of the greatest men of prayer and faith since the New Testament era, said the beginning of anxiety is the end of faith, And the beginning of true faith is the end of anxiety. So when we make the choice to stand in faith, that destroys anxiety. It stops anxiety. Amen? So what are we to do? Don't believe the devil's lies. Trust God. Stand in faith. Don't believe the enemy's lies. I read an article from Psychology Today, and I've mentioned it in a previous series several months ago, and it was titled, How Often Do Our Worries Come True? How often do you think your worries come true? Think about that for a moment. This cited a study from Penn State University in which subjects who had generalized anxiety disorder, which means that they're just worried about everything and it's chronic, it's all the time. They had generalized anxiety disorder characterized by persistent, worrisome thoughts and oftentimes disturbing their sleep. Every time they struggled with those worrisome thoughts in this study, they were supposed to write it down, time, date, what the worrisome thoughts were. At the end of the study period, when their worries were analyzed, it showed that 91% of those worries were false alarms. They were lies. They were deceptions because they didn't come to pass. And the remaining 9% of the worries that did come true, the outcome was better expected than what they thought. So it turned out better than what they thought. And for about 1 in 4 participants, exactly 0 of their worries materialized. And these findings underscore worry's deceit. In the words of the authors of the study, they called it worry's deceit. And they said, deceit is a good word to describe the nature of worry, implicitly demanding that we pay attention to it because the threat is real. In reality, it's nearly always a false alarm. So these secular researchers call it worry's deceit. We know it's the lie of the enemy. It's his deception to keep us from walking in the peace and the joy that God has for us, to keep us from walking in faith. So even secular psychologists identify worry as a deception. It is the deception of the enemy. John Haggai in How to Win Over Worry, that's not John Hagee, this is John Haggai in his book How to Win Over Worry, tells the story of a woman who worried for 40 years that she was going to die of cancer. And I mean, this worry was like a bondage to her. It just gave her such stress and anxiety all the time. She thought at any moment she was going to get cancer and she was going to die. Well, she did finally die one day, as we all will if Jesus does not come back. She was in her 70s. But she believed the lie of the enemy and wasted more than 33 years of her life worrying that she was going to die of cancer, and it never happened. When she did die in her 70s, she died from pneumonia. Had nothing to do with what she worried about. The enemy wants to keep you bound by the deception of worrisome thoughts. One writer states, worrying is not something we often view as a sin, and yet what we are really affirming when we worry is that we do not trust God. Hello. He said that when we worry, what we're really affirming is that we do not trust God. He said, worry and anxiety really are a lack of trust in God and that he has something good planned for our life. When we worry, we are putting greater trust in the devil's lies than in God's promises. We need to bring those lies, those worrisome thoughts, into captivity to Christ by standing on the truth of God's word and declaring his promises over my life. I remember one of the scripture verses from the Psalms when I was battling cancer 6 years ago, stage 3 cancer, a very aggressive and rare cancer that the oncologist told me did not respond well to treatment. I'm here today that says, say God still heals, amen. Last year, after 5 years of no cancer, the doctors pronounced me cured, but I said 2,000 years ago, Jesus pronounced me healed, amen. Amen. So here, I had the doctors telling me one thing in my ear, And then, you know, Satan wants to come and amplify that. So, you know, there would be those thoughts that would try to attack my mind. You're going to die. This is it. But I remember one scripture verse that I continually declared over my life. It's from the Psalms. It says, I will live and not die, and I will declare of your mighty works. And I would walk in the morning and I would declare that scripture. I will live and not die, and I will declare your mighty works. Amen. Folks, we got to take those thoughts that Satan plants in our mind. We've got to take them under subjection to Christ by standing upon the word of God and declaring it over our life. And that became reality in my life because I lived and I didn't die, and I'm here testifying of God's mighty works. Amen. So declare God's word over your life and bring every thought into captivity to Christ. Pray your way through your worry. Pray your way through your worry. Someone said that worry is praying to the devil. Hello. Don't waste your time praying to the devil. He's got only evil things that bad things he wants to do. Amen. Worry is praying to the devil, but the Bible tells us that we are to pray in faith to God. Paul said, don't worry about anything, but pray about everything and let God know what you have need of. Now, there are two commands in this sentence. Don't worry, but pray. Don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. That means that we have to choose to obey moment by moment, to not worry, but instead to pray. We have to make an intentional choice. Why? Because the mind naturally tends to go towards worry, right? But we do not drift towards faith. We have to make an intentional choice to bring those negative, worrisome thoughts under control to Christ and make a conscious choice to stand in faith. So don't worry, but pray. And we obey these commands by turning every worry into a prayer. And there's nothing too big or too small to pray about. But the moment that worrisome thought comes into our mind, you worried about getting sick? Heavenly Father, there's this thought in my mind that I'm going to get sick. But right now, I claim that you are Jehovah Rapha, the Lord, my healer. So I'm trusting you for health in my body. Turn it into a prayer. Amen. Turn it into a prayer. God cares about everything that concerns you. That's why he says, cast all of your cares, not some of your cares. Cast all of your cares upon him because he cares about you. And prayer brings your worries into the presence of God. And guess what? Worry cannot persist in the presence of God. Hallelujah. One minister shared years ago in the early days of aviation that there was a pilot who was making a flight around the world. After he'd been gone for some 2 hours from his last landing field, he heard a noise in his plane, which he recognized as the gnawing of a rat. He realized that while his plane had been on the ground getting refueled and restocked, that somehow a rat had gotten on board. It was a very serious situation that made him both concerned and anxious because the rat could gnaw through any vital cables that were essential to his flight. So at first he didn't know what to do. It was 2 hours back to the airfield he had taken off from, and it was another 2 hours to the next airfield where he was to refuel. So then he remembered that the rat is a rodent, and it's not made for heights. It's made to live on earth and under the earth. So he decided, I'm just going to increase my altitude. And he began to fly higher and higher. He went up 1,000 feet, but the gnawing continued. And then another 1,000 feet, and it continued. Another 1,000 feet until he was over 20,000 feet. And the gnawing stopped. The rat was dead. The rat could not survive in the atmosphere of those heights. And more than 2 hours later, the pilot safely landed the plane at his next landing field. And lo and behold, there was the dead rat. Child of God, worry is a rodent that gnaws away at your mind to rob you of peace and joy, but it cannot survive in the secret place of the Most High. Worry cannot breathe in the atmosphere made vital by prayer and familiarity with the scripture. Worry dies when we ascend into the presence of the Lord through prayer, through worship, and through his word. Hallelujah. Conquer worry. Conquer worry by praying about everything. When you pray about everything, Paul says, then God's peace will rule in your heart and in your mind. Someone said, when we put our cares in God's hand, he puts his peace in our heart. So put your cares in his hand. Second principle that we want to look at this morning, don't focus on a future of unknowns, focus on the present goodness of God. Worry is the enemy of gratitude, and gratitude conquers worry. Worry can prevent us from seeing and celebrating the blessing of God in our lives right now. And we begin to see everything bad, everything negative. Worry consumes our mind with negative thoughts so that we can't appreciate the goodness of God in our lives. But Paul says, worry about nothing, pray about everything, tell God what you need, and then give thanks. Pray and give thanks. Don't pray with the attitude of complaint and entitlement. Oh, God, woe is me. How could you possibly let me go through this? God, why haven't you delivered me? That's complaint and entitlement, right? No, but we pray and we say, God, this is my worry. This is my concern. This is what I'm facing. I turn it over to you. I thank you, Lord, that you love me. I thank you that you said that you will never leave me nor forsake me. I thank you that the promise of your word is that when I pray, you will hear and you will answer me. And you start to give thanks. Amen? You start to give thanks. And when we pray with complaint and entitlement, we are demonstrating that we don't really trust God's ability to take care of us and that we doubt his goodwill in our life. And that's why it's important for us to pray and give thanks. Gratitude is a powerful weapon to defeat the enemy of worry. In an article by Psychology Today, it opened with the statement, research shows gratitude is a strong way to reduce anxiety, to reduce worry. The article goes on to say how gratitude improves mental health and reduces stress. And there are psychologists today in this article are just confirming what God already told us in his word, that instead of worrying, we ought to pray about everything, tell God what we need, and then practice gratitude. Give him thanks. Then Paul says, you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything that you can understand. And last week, we touched on the importance of gratitude in overcoming negative thinking. And here is gratitude again in overcoming worry. There's something the Bible's trying to tell us. Gratitude debunks the lies of the enemy who tells us that God isn't good, that God doesn't love us, that God has forgotten about us, that God is not going to come through for us. But thanksgiving reminds us of who God is. It reminds us of God's goodness. It reminds us of God's presence in our lives, God's favor, God's blessing. Amen. Gratitude focuses on the present blessings of God rather than the fearful uncertainties of the unknown future that drains today of its strength. Gratitude helps to open our spiritual eyes so that we can see God currently working in our lives and our circumstances. Gratitude helps us to sense God's presence and God's care for us. And gratitude also helps us to trust God's will and God's timing. God, you're in control. God, you do all things well. God, your timing is perfect. You know exactly what you're doing. And gratitude helps us to be content. The Bible tells us to be content in where God has us. Gratitude strengthens our faith. Through thanksgiving, we are reminding ourselves of the faithfulness of God. We remind ourselves of the faithfulness of God in our past. Lord, you've been there for me. You've brought me through. Give him thanks for the different things he's brought you through. Amen. And then thank him for what he's doing in the present. Someone said this, if you will count your blessings in the daytime, you will not have to try to count sheep at night to go to sleep. Hello? Because if you'll count your blessings, you will be at peace and you'll be able to sleep well. This is Thanksgiving month, isn't it? We have Thanksgiving coming up. Thanksgiving is not just about a day of turkey and fixings, amen? Thanksgiving is supposed to be a lifestyle. So as the emphasis of this month is Thanksgiving, why don't you put into practice giving thanks every single day for what God is doing in your life? Wake up every morning and thank God for five things that he's doing in your life. I encourage you even to get a notebook or a journal book and just write those five things. Date it and write five things that you're grateful for every day. You will be amazed at how the practice of gratitude will begin to change your life. Thanksgiving restores joy. In Psalm 126, when the Israelites sang songs of thanksgiving to God, for bringing them back into the land, restoring them to the promised land. The scripture says, the Lord has done great things for us. We are filled with joy. When they gave thanks to God, his joy filled their life. Worry robs you of peace and joy, but thanksgiving defeats worry and restores supernatural peace and joy. God promises us that if we will pray about everything and give him thanks in all things, he will give us peace that passes all understanding. One day, the famed evangelist John Wesley was walking with a troubled man who expressed his doubt as to the goodness of God and said, I don't know what I'm going to do with all of this worry and all of this trouble that I'm experiencing. At the same moment, Wesley saw a cow looking over a stone wall. And Wesley said to the man, do you know why that cow is looking over the wall? Puzzled, the man said, no. Wesley said, the cow is looking over the wall because she cannot see through it. And that's what you have to do with your wall of worry and trouble. Look over it. Folks, don't focus on your worries. Focus on God through faith. Faith enables us to win the war over worry and walk in peace and joy. Faith prays in expectancy that God will hear us. It prays in expectancy of what God will do in the future on our behalf. And then faith gives thanks for the goodness of God in all that he has done up to this point in our life. So let's commit ourselves this morning to not worry about anything, but to pray about everything and to give thanks to God in all things, in all circumstances. When we do that, God promises his peace and his joy. We will defeat worry and we will walk in peace and joy. But the life of faith begins with repenting of our sin and coming to Jesus as our Savior in faith, because we were all sinners and sin separated us from God. That's the whole reason that Jesus came from heaven to earth. He lived a sinless life, and then he gave that life on the cross of Calvary as a sacrifice for our sins. So that today, when we repent of our sins, and the word repent simply means to turn away from, so we recognize we've been heading in the wrong direction, we've been living life without regard to God, and it's leading to destruction. We don't want to live that way anymore. So we make a U-turn. That's repentance. We say, God, forgive me. I don't want to live that way anymore. I turn to you in faith, and I ask you to come live inside of me and help me live a life that's pleasing to you. The moment that we do that, the Bible says that we are born again. We are made spiritually alive, and we are brought into relationship with God as his sons and his daughters. And that's the beginning of a lifelong journey of learning to love and walk in faith. And so we encourage you this morning that if you have never come to Christ in repentance and faith, or maybe you did it some years ago and you've drifted away and you can feel the Lord tugging at your heart saying it's time to come back, I want to encourage you to bow your heads right now. And if you want to come to Christ or come back to Christ, whether you're here in person or online, I want to encourage you to pray this prayer with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I believe that you love me so much that you died for my sins. Today, I repent. I turn away from my sinful life, and I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins. I turn to you in faith, and I invite you to come live inside of me. Help me from this day forward to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time or the first time in a long time, we want to congratulate you on making the best decision of your life, and we want to welcome you to the family of God. If you just prayed that prayer in-house, I want to ask you to just text "I prayed" to the number on the screen. Online, just type "I prayed" in the comments. Why? Because we want to send you free of charge a little e-booklet to help you understand the prayer you just prayed and the next steps to take to continue to grow in your faith relationship with God, because the prayer you just prayed is a beginning point, not an end point. It is now the beginning of a lifelong journey with Christ. And so we want to help you to walk out your faith and grow in your faith. So we want to send you free of charge this little e-booklet. So if you would right now in-house, just text "I prayed" to the number on the screen. Online, type "I prayed" in the comments. A little later today, you will get a response message with a link. Click on that link, fill in your name and email address. We need your email address to be able to send this booklet to you free of charge. So please do that right now so that we can send that to you. We also want to encourage those that just prayed, along with all believers, to do three things regularly to grow in your faith. One, talk to God every day. That's called prayer. Talk to him about the good things in your life. That's thanksgiving. Thank him for every good thing in your life. And then talk to him about whatever problems, difficulties, or trials, or decisions that you're making, and ask his help. At a very basic level, that's prayer. God loves you. He wants to hear from you every day. That's a part of a relationship, is talking to one another. So talk to God every day. Secondly, let God talk to you every day. You may say, how does God talk to us, Pastor? Well, the number one way that God talks to us is through the Bible. That's his word, his message to us. If you don't have a printed Bible, you can download the YouVersion app, Y-O-U version app, for free on your phone. You can read there free all the time. There's never a charge, no matter how much you read. So we encourage you to download the YouVersion app and then start reading in the book of 1 John in the New Testament. It's a little book which explains to us who Jesus is and what he's done for us. So it'll better help us understand the prayer of faith that you just made. Just pray, just read a few verses every day. Before you read, ask God to help you understand what you're reading and to apply it to your life. So let God talk to you every day through his word. And then thirdly, get connected to a local Assembly of God church. Of course, if you're here in South Florida, we welcome you to our church family. We have a wonderful church family who will love you, support you, pray for you, and walk alongside of you. If you're outside of the South Florida area, then we encourage you to find an Assembly of God church near to you and get connected. Don't just attend services, but put down roots, build relationships. That's what helps us to grow in our relationship with God. But once again, congratulations, and we're so glad that you received Christ as your Savior. For those of us who have already dedicated our life to Christ, I want to speak to you for a couple of minutes, and just let's commit ourselves to respond to the message today by saying, Lord, I commit myself not to worry, but to turn every worry into a prayer and to give thanks in all things for your blessings in my life, so that I can defeat worry and that I can walk in your peace and in your joy. If that's your heart's desire, as we respond to the message this morning, would you stand to your feet and would you just make your way to this altar just for a couple of moments as we close out in a time of prayer, responding to the word of God this morning. We should always respond to God's word. Never let it just fall on our ears, but let us always respond to his word. And as you come to this altar, just thank God and just make your commitment to the Lord from your own heart as I pray over us. But God wants to hear your words, your heart, your voice. So talk to God from your heart right now as I pray over us. Heavenly Father, I thank you for all of these who have come forward to this altar this morning. Father, we all battle with worry from time to time. And we know that it is the devil's weapon. It is the devil's deception, Lord God. And you don't want us to be bound by worry, walking in fear and anxiety. You want to set us free, Lord God. You want us to walk in victory. You want us to experience your peace and your joy. And so you have given us, Lord God, you have given us the weapons. You have given us, Lord God, the tools to be able to do this. So, Father, as we stand before you today, Lord God, We receive your word with gladness of heart and we respond to it in faith. And today we make a commitment, Lord God, to not worry, but to turn every worry into prayer, Lord God, and just surrender it to you. And we make a commitment today to thank you, Lord God, to develop that attitude of gratitude, that practice of thanksgiving in our lives, Lord God, so that we can focus on your goodness, so that we can focus on your present activity in our lives, Lord God, and not be consumed by worry. Help us to walk in faith, Lord God. Help us to walk in gratitude. Help us to overcome worry, Lord God, and experience your joy and your peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. If you were blessed by this message, would you consider giving a gift to help support our ministry? You can text any amount to 954-516-1522. That's 954-516-1522. Thank you, and we hope you will join us again.